Welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday morning, March the 25th by Lee Younger on John chapter 19.
I forgot to say that we don't have community groups next week. So for those of you who come early to the community group hour, we won't have anything. So you can come and hang out. That'll be great. There's probably coffee, but there won't be any community groups because of Easter. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this chance to open up your word. And I'm asking that you would, not only that you would speak to our hearts, but that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Help us to be open, to be receptive. Help us to hear you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so there's something that I, by the way, for those of you who want to follow along the scriptures, we're going to be in John chapter 19 eventually. We're going to get there in a minute. But before we do, there's something that that happens, I think, to everybody. I know it definitely happens to me, and I'm sick of it. I'm over this. I'm done with it. I don't want it to be the case anymore. And that is, whenever certain situations happen, whenever certain circumstances happen, I have absolutely no control over the way I feel about it. I get absolutely led around by the nose on the way that I feel. Like, my situations combined with my emotions are ruling over me in a way that I don't want to be bossed around. And I hate the way that feels. And it feels like it's a situation where it's like, I don't want that kind of king. I don't want that kind of boss. I'm done with that thing. Now, before we go any further, it of course needs to be said, this is a totally natural thing, because when stuff happens to you, then you feel a certain way off of that. That's kind of the way feelings work. You just feel them. It's not like something happens and then you look at like a bookshelf and you select which feeling you're going to have. I'll try fear now. That'll be awesome. That's not the way that thing works. You just feel stuff off of what happens to you. So it's natural. And it's really normal in the sense that everybody is that way, right? I'm not the only one. Right? Can y'all give me, thank you. That is super helpful. I'm not the only one. We all kind of experience this. And to be honest, not all of it is bad. I mean, there's certain things happen to you, and you should feel stuff off of that. If you didn't, you would be really super weird. Like, if all of your friends surprise you on your birthday and you didn't know, and they all scream surprise at the same time, you should be a little afraid. You should want to pee a little bit, and then you should be super happy. Like, all of those three things should happen in a row. And if they don't, you know, you're a little weird. And I think we can all get behind that. If you watch any Pixar movie and you feel nothing, then you have like vacuumed out your soul or something. You need to apply for a new, like the first 10 minutes of the movie Up. If you were just like, just throwing popcorn in, like, yeah, it's great. Like, you have problems. You know, I think we can all get behind that. That's good stuff. If you're just watching, you watch something, it's supposed to be sweet or sad or something like that, you feel those things, that's good. Or like, you know, you're watching your regional sports team that you're super stoked about, and they do something great, and you feel awesome off of that, and they do something terrible, and you feel less than awesome. I remember 3 years ago, it was in October, and I remember exactly what day it was. It was October 10th, because it was Anna's birthday, and I remember it was a Saturday, Anna's birthday, and my dad was going to come over to the house, and he was going to take Anna out on like a granddaddy birthday date, you know, take her out to dinner, ice cream, take her shopping, the whole thing. She's super stoked about it. She's getting herself ready for her date. And in the afternoon, there was a football game on. It was Michigan versus Michigan State. And so those of us who love the Wolverines were really stoked about that, because we had this new coach. They were playing great. They were undefeated. They go to play Michigan State at the big house. It's a hard-fought struggle. It's a long game, but they made it, and they basically won the game. There's like a few seconds left. They're up. All they got to do is just punt the ball and cover. That's it, and the game is over, and I'm so stoked about it. I haven't sat down in three quarters. I'm just like pacing back and forth in the living room, so stoked about everything that happens. They snap the ball back to the punter. The punter fumbles the ball. The Michigan State players fall on it in the end zone, score a touchdown, time expires, it's over, and I just stood there staring at my TV in complete disbelief. Meanwhile, the sweet little 11-year-old girl is getting ready for her date, the granddaddy granddaughter date, and she's super stoked about it. He's going to come over and take her out for dinner, and he's a bigger Michigan fan than I am, and I'm going to put him on blast right now. That was the worst date anyone's ever been on. He was not good company. The dinner, the ice cream, the shopping, everything. He would have rather been dead than been on the thing. And she got home and she was like, that was the worst date anybody's ever been on. So some of us probably need to dial back the way we feel off sports a little bit. But for the most part, stuff happens and you feel things off of that. Some of it's good and some of it's bad. But for me, the thing that I'm sick of and I'm tired of is when I have like a disappointed expectation. The way I feel off of that, I'm like, dude, you're almost 40. Would you please grow at some point? Like, that's the way I feel off of that thing. Or when I have some fear about the future or some insecurity crops up or some situation that I don't know how to handle and panic sets in. And I don't know about you, but for me, my panic is a terrible problem solver. Like, I've never solved any problem by stressing and worrying about it or being afraid or feeling alone or desperate or whatever. And I'm sick of being just led around by the nose. Like, this is my boss. My circumstances and my feelings off of that are like a ruler over me. And I don't want that king. I don't want to feel that way all the time. I want to figure out, is it possible to grow in that? Is it possible to change in that? So we've been looking for a while at what our faith looks like lived out. A person that has a belief in Jesus, that walks with Jesus, that follows Jesus, what does that look like, the things that we believe when a life lives it out? And to help us figure it out, we've been looking at different people in the New Testament. Specifically during Lent, we've been looking at people who were around or at the cross of Jesus. And I want to look at somebody this morning who is not a hero of our faith. And I want to make that very clear. We've been looking at heroes of our faith. This dude is not one of them. The person that we're going to look at today was a horrible, horrible person, but he had one great moment. It's Pontius Pilate, by the way, which Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor over Jerusalem and this whole surrounding area where God's people were. He was the leader of this foreign occupying force. He was the guy calling the shots over all of God's people. And the thing is that we need to say this. I need to make this as clear as possible. Not a good person, not a hero of our faith, not a believer in or follower of Jesus in any way. This dude was a cold, calculating, manipulative, just wicked man. His whole life was one long, unbroken record of just ruthless self-promotion, a merciless pursuit of just his way the whole time. Except he had this one amazing moment. And I want to look at that. It's in John chapter 19. And this is what happens. Finally, well, let me back up before this and just kind of set the scene. The reason this guy comes into the story at all is because the Jewish leaders who had been against Jesus, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they wanted to get rid of Jesus, and they had no authority to do that. They couldn't get anybody executed. They didn't have the right to because the Romans rule over the place. So they had to ask the Roman ruler to get Jesus executed. And they pushed this dude, and they prodded him, and they got what they wanted. And they were like gnats around his face. They just kept messing with him and kept barraging him and kept berating him until he did it. He ordered the execution of Jesus. It says in verse 16, finally Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Now Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but write that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. There it was. This man's one good moment. Out of one ridiculously horrible, wicked life, one great moment. Basically, as I think about myself, And the way that my circumstances matched up with my feelings often lead me around by the nose to feeling a certain way and being a certain person that I don't want to be. I don't want to, that boss. I don't want that king. I'm asking myself the question, is there a way to get better at that? Is there a way to get better at or grow in over time the way that I feel off of the stuff that happens to me? Because it's natural to feel stuff off what happens to you. And it's normal to be kind of moved a lot by the stuff that happens to you. That's, everybody knows what that feels like. But at the same time, for me, it's not working. I don't want it anymore. I don't want that king. And what I like about Pilate in this moment is he has this sign written, Jesus of Nazareth, the king. And when somebody tried to get it changed, he said, get out of my house. Finally, after all this time, these guys have pushed this guy to the edge over and over and over again. He's given in, given in, given in. And finally, he gets to this place and he says, no more. I'm not listening to you anymore. What I have written, I have written. I'm not writing it in pencil so I can erase it. I'm not writing it in quotations. I have written it. That's what it is. There's a place in my heart and in my life where I've got to learn to do this same thing. I've got to be able to say, this is the king, and I'm not erasing it. And I'm not putting it in quotations. This is it. Now, just so that we're all on the same page, what am I talking about? So here's the deal. I think that there are two completely binary, there's a binary way to see like all of our experiential reality, okay? That's real, that's a big broad scope. And what I mean is this. Either the universe is completely out of control, and so everything that happens to me is totally random chance, which means that if anything bad happens to me and I feel stuff off of that, if I want to change it, it's up to me, period. I have to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I got to make myself feel better. I've got to overcome. I've got to solve my own problems. Does that make sense? If the universe is out of control, then I've got to figure out my stuff myself. Here's the deal. I can't do that. I don't know how. I'm not very good at it. And no matter how many times I've tried, I haven't been able to figure it out. On the other side of that is this totally other reality which says Jesus is in control of everything that happens. All the good stuff, all the bad stuff, somehow he's working out a plan. I don't know what it is or whatever, and I guess I'm supposed to see what it is someday or whatever, but he's in control of everything. Now, here's the problem I think most of us have. And you let me know if I'm alone, you can just keep blinking at me, whatever the situation is. But I don't think I'm alone on this. I think that most of us live in some kind of in-between. We want a little bit of both. So that when awesome things happen, we're like, that was Jesus, man. His beautiful plan. I'm just blessed by the best. No reason to be stressed. You know? That's, I love it when Jesus hooks me up. That's what, it's so awesome to be a Christian because I got Jesus on my side and he's got the plan and the whole thing. That's great. And then when something awful happens and I feel terrible off of that, it's a total crisis. Because how could that possibly be him? Because isn't he awesome and doesn't he love me and everything? So we live somewhere in this in-between where it's like, sometimes I have to, for my sanity, I have to believe the world is totally out of control and crap just happens to me. And then other times when things are awesome, I'm just like, my boy Jesus hooking a brother up, you know? And that's, and I'm in the middle somewhere. And the only problem with that is I can't live in both realities. It's like this one time when, well, like for those of you who don't know, Oak Ridge High School, the students have off-campus lunch. So they get to leave the school and go eat at restaurants in town. And for those of us who work with high school kids, that's awesome because we get to go have lunch with kids in the middle of the day. And a number of years ago, I remember this kid texted me and he said, hey, a bunch of us are going to El Canarito. Are you in? I was like, watch me beat you there. So like we go, we destroy some El Canarito. We're so full, you want to be dead. It was that kind of a situation. As soon as we paid our bill, we're walking out to the car, and I get another text from, because back in these days, they had two lunch periods, right? I get another text, and this other dude is like, hey, me and a bunch of the guys are going to Miss Betty's Magic Walk. Are you in? And I was like, well, I'm not going to eat, because I just had Elkhart's. And he was like, well, just come hang out with us. And I was like, so there. So I roll in there, and for those of you who have ever been there, you know what the problem is, which is you smell it. And your olfactory system says, you're not full, dude. Everything's fine. Wontons don't even have calories, dude. Everything is cool. Just order a couple of wontons, you know? So then before you know it, it was like the full, like sweet and sour chicken, double meat, wontons, everything, the whole deal. And I ate all of it. I mean, just ate again. And this is the thing is, at the time, I'm like, I can live like this. I can eat Elkhart's and Miss Betty's in the same 2 hours. It's not a big deal. It's not a problem. But then, like, I was dead for 3 days. Like, I was, like, legally embalmed the whole thing. It was not a good situation. But I think for us, like, that's what we try to do is live in, you can't have both of those in one day. You can't have Elkhart's and Betty's in the same lunch. And you can't have Jesus King of everything or the universe is completely out of control. You can't have both of those in the same mind and in the same heart. But that's where we live so often. And this is why I love what Pilate did. Is he writes this sign. Not that the man believed in it. He didn't believe Jesus was the king of the world and that Jesus was in control of everything. He didn't love Jesus and decide he was going to praise him and become one of his subjects or anything. Pilate wasn't saying, Jesus is my king. He wasn't going to go follow Jesus. He probably didn't even remember Jesus a month after this whole thing went down. The only thing that Pilate did was he decided in somebody getting in my face all the time, I'm putting my foot down and I'm swatting the gnats. That was it. And that's what I love about this, is that whenever stuff happens to me, all of my thoughts and my emotions are like gnats in my face and I can't get rid of them. And I want to do like this dude did and say, that's it, out of my house. What I've written, I have written. I am deciding that Jesus is in control of my life. I'm deciding that he knows what he's doing. I'm deciding that I don't see it. Now, here's the thing about this, is that I know that as soon as I say this, for me, if I were you listening to some fool say this, the thing that I would be feeling is, so you're saying I'm supposed to get behind that thing that Christians always say, God is good all the time, God is good. I'm gonna be honest with you. I hate when people say that. I hate when people say that because, yeah, as a Christian, I know that's technically good or whatever. But if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, I can't get behind that all the time. Y'all know what I mean? I don't feel that way all the time. If I'm going to be honest about it, for me to live in one reality and not the other, if Jesus is really in control of all the time, then the way I've got to say it is like this. Jesus is in control. He knows what he's doing. I don't. And to be perfectly honest with you, a lot of times I don't like it. I'm going to say that again. Jesus knows what he's doing. I don't get it. And sometimes I don't even like it. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to be there. I think it's okay to say, I don't know what's happening. And sometimes I don't like it. A couple things that John tells us about this sign that Pilate put up that I want to kind of notice for a second. Pilate, it says that Pilate put this up on top of the cross, and he says that a lot of people saw this sign because the place where Jesus was crucified was outside the city, like in a public place. So everybody on their way to work is like seeing this thing. They're seeing Jesus crucified, and they saw the sign. It says a lot of folks read it. Now, if I'm going to put this sign up over my life, over my heart and over my mind, I'm going to have to be like that. And what I mean by that is, like, if I think about my mind and my heart in the midst of my circumstances, kind of like its own little city, its own little world, like the place where my mind and my heart live. I know that's a little weird, but come with me just for a second. Then what I want to do is I want to preemptively, before anything else happens, I want to put that sign up. In other words, and I want to put it up in a public place. I want to start my day that way. I want to start my day before anything happens to me and before I feel anything off of anything happening, I want to put that up. Before anything happens to me, I'm saying this. He's doing stuff. He apparently knows what it is. I believe that. I may not always like it, and I may not always get it. But I'm saying this, and what I've written, I've written. I'm writing it down. I want all my thoughts and all my feelings to see that sign on their way to work. Like if my little thoughts and feelings are carrying their lunch pail in their brief box, in briefcase on the way to work, I want them to see that. I want them to see that sign. This dude thinks Jesus knows what he's doing. Even if I'm just kind of barely holding on to that with white knuckles, I believe it. I'm going to hang on to this. Another thing it says is that Pilate wrote this in three languages, in Aramaic, in Latin, and Greek. And the reason that he was able to do that was because it was a very short little thing that he wrote. It wasn't even a sentence. It was a sentence fragment. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. My ninth grade English teacher would be like, you better put a verb and an object on there, and then you can put a period. That is not a sentence. That is a fragment. It's so short that you don't even need a verb or an object. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. If you wanted to make it a sentence, you could put runs this. Like that would make it a whole thing. Jesus runs this. That's a sentence. Okay, but it's so short that he was able to put it in three languages on the same sign. Why is that a big deal? Because I don't know if this is you, but I know it's me. When stuff happens to me that's about to take me out, all of a sudden there's all kinds of really complicated things that I'm trying to analyze and figure out. I'm trying to figure out, what does this thing mean? And what's that going to mean in the future? And what is this saying about me? And why am I worse than other people because this thing is happening to me? Because I feel this insecurity, or because I feel this fear, or because I feel this other thing? Is anybody else on that where you try to work your way out of it? It's so complex and you're analyzing every angle of it. And what I love about Pilate's thing is it's not like the Constitution where it has Article 4, Paragraph C, Clause 5. It's not like that. There's not a bunch of loopholes and amendments and stuff like that. It's just Jesus is the king who runs this. That's it. I'm not going to let it get all complicated. I'm not going to analyze and have arguments and debates with my feelings and my thoughts. I'm saying this, I'm writing it down, and I'm not changing it. The last thing he did, it says that when the Pharisees saw this, they went to him and they were like, hey, listen, dude, we need to say some stuff about that sign that you put up there. You need to make that sign in pencil. And Pilate said, get out of my house. What I've written, I've written. And they're like, well, you need to say, okay, no pencil, fine. You need to say, but just add some quotation marks onto it. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You know, like that little, the quote fingers. Because he claimed to be the king doesn't necessarily mean he is one. It's what he says about it, the whole thing. And Pilate said, no, I'm not putting it in pencil, not in quotation mark. I wrote it in Sharpie. You're going to have to deal with it. It's not going anywhere. It's permanent. I need to write it first in a public way above all this stuff. I need to make it simple enough that I can't analyze and argue my way out of it. And I need to make it permanent. This is what I'm going with. That's what I love about this sign. What I've written, I've written. Now, I've been thinking about this all week. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is, how would this feel to hear? Like if I were you. Because I've been thinking about it all week, and you've been thinking about it for about 18 minutes. So how would it feel to hear this from the first time? And when I thought about that, it occurred to me that it might be hard to hear. It might be hard to hear this for one very specific reason. It sounds neat and tidy, and thoughts and feelings don't really work like that. Thoughts and feelings off of the things that happen to us are not neat and tidy, right? That's not the way that works. So if you would permit me just for a second to try to come alongside you and answer that question, is this that neat and tidy? I think the thing that I would feel if I were you listening to this is, dude, what if I can't do this? What if I try that and I fail at that? And now that's overwhelming. And now there's another thing about Jesus that I'm getting wrong. And I think in my mind, there's this version of Jesus in the middle of that thought that is like seated up on high, talking about how awesome his glorious plan is, and won't you get on the same page with my amazing plan, and won't you just believe it, and haven't I earned that with you yet? And in my mind, he's like looking down on me with a furrowed brow and arms crossed, just believe it already. And it doesn't, that doesn't feel very good. And that's not very helpful. And what if I can't just write that sign over my thoughts and my feelings, and now I'm overwhelmed at failing at something at Jesus? And is he looking down on me like that? Furrowed brow, crossed arms. And if that's you, if that's not you, awesome. Then just go forth, my friend. If that's you, though, then may I suggest just for a second that we take one more look at the one who actually was underneath that sign that Pilate put up. Because he was not one seated on high in glorious splendor, looking down on people with a furrowed brow and arms crossed. He was bleeding out. He was hurting. He was suffering. And that's important. It's important that if I'm going to write that sign over my life, that I'm deciding to simplify, reduce my options, and say that Jesus knows what he's doing, even when I don't understand and even when I don't like it very much. Then I need to understand that the one that I'm crowning over my life is somebody who knows how it feels to suffer. That's important. It's important that I remember that the one who hung underneath that sign was somebody who was bleeding out, who was exposed. He wasn't looking down on anybody because other people were looking down on him, jeering at him and making fun of him. He wasn't sitting there with a furrowed brow because he had a crown of thorns digging into his brow. He wasn't sitting there with arms crossed. His arms were spread wide and nailed to a cross. He was completely vulnerable, completely open. At one point, screaming in the dark, "Where are you, God?" And no answer came. And that's important. Because the times that I need that sign over my life the most are the times when I feel like I'm suffering, struggling for every breath just to make it to the next day or to make it through this one. And I feel like I'm screaming in the dark, "Where are you, God?" And no answer is coming. And if I'm going to crown Jesus over my life, then I'm glad to know that he knows how I feel in that moment. That's a king that I can crown. The one who knows how it feels to suffer. The one who knows how it feels to be exposed. The one who knows how it feels to feel alone. The one who knows how it feels to scream in the dark and no answer comes. That's a king that I would like to have. I may not know what's going on. I may not understand the plan of God. I may not even like it. He even knows how that feels. Remember the night before when he said, "If there's any other way, I don't want to do this." That's a king I can crown. So what do we do? May I suggest this? That when your day's about to begin, if you can carve out some time. If you can't, then you find some time in your day to do this. To take your heart and your mind to that place, to his words, to this king, and say, "What I've written, I've written." And take some of his words. Just turn to the Gospels, and every time you see Jesus say something that gives hope, every time you see Jesus coming alongside somebody with an encouragement or love or affection, take those words and write them down and put them with your sign. "What I have written, I have written." So that when you feel alone, you see the words of Jesus saying, "Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the age. What I've written, I've written." When you feel like the situation I'm in, it's never going to change. This is going to be my life for the rest of my life. And then you see Jesus saying, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to bring you to myself." This mess that we're in is not the end of anything. This is just a brief little blip in everything that I have prepared for you. What I've written, I've written. When you feel ashamed and guilty over all your stuff, and you see the words of Jesus saying, "Neither do I condemn you," then put that with your sign. "What I've written, I've written." His is a heart that you can take yours to. His are words that you can take your mind to. Write them down in a public enough place over your thoughts, over your circumstances, over your feelings, over everything that happens to you. Make it simple. And don't change your mind. He knows how it feels to suffer, He knows how it feels to struggle. He knows how it feels to not have any answer. He knows how it feels to not like God's plan. That's a heart you can take yours to. What I've written, I've written. Let's try it. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for experiencing the desperation, the struggle, the pain, the exposure, the loneliness, the unending questions, the unanswered questions. You're the kind of king that I want to trust. Even when I don't know what you're doing and I don't know when it's going to be over, I want to write it down and I want to make it simple and I want to get to the place where I'm not living in the middle anymore, in the middle of maybe the universe is chaos and maybe Jesus runs it. I want to say Jesus runs it when I don't understand, even when I don't like it. But what I've written, I've written. Would you help me? Would you help us to grow in this, to get better at this, to crown you, the one who wore the crown of thorns? We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me fly, let me fly. While the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, oh my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven, God. My soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support for me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I lift. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow. Thou, O Christ, are all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Out that gracious hand, while I own thy strangers, hoping against hope I stand, dying and behold I. Let me fly, let me fly.